Well, good evening.
Good evening.
Good to see you tonight. Hope you're prepared for the weekend. I tell you, the Lord is good in all that He does. He really is, and I'm thankful tonight for you being here, and I trust God's given you a good week so far. And let's look forward to what He has for us tonight. Anybody here saved?
Amen.
I'm glad I'm saved and on the way to heaven. You're going to talk about that marriage supper of the Lamb. That's going to be an exciting time.
Amen.
It really is. And I look forward to that. I really do. It's closer today than it was yesterday. Amen. I can guarantee you that. I don't know when it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen soon, I really believe. But I'm glad to be here tonight. Glad to have you in the Lord's house tonight. And I want to kind of share something a little bit unusual for you tonight. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Psalms. Psalms tonight. Again, continue to pray for our pastor and Miss Ennis as they'll be traveling back, and trusting God will use them in a very special way where they are, and help people to be encouraged. Pastor loves people. He loves to encourage people. That's why he goes to these places sometimes, and of course, representing the college and everything here too, but that's why he's out this week. And we had some guy this week called from Georgia. Know about being on the radio. He called about a year and a half ago, talked to the pastor and talked to me about being on the radio, and he called back this week and said, last time I called you about a year and a half ago, I just wasn't quite ready to get on the radio, but I'm ready now. And so we'll be talking to him more when the pastor gets back and hopefully have new programs. We've got a new program starting, let's see, is it Friday?
Friday at 11:30.
Where's the guy from, Brother Glenn? Sanford. Sanford, North Carolina, yeah. Sanford, North Carolina. And he'll be on the radio at 11:30 on Friday, broadcast, a 30-minute broadcast. We're trying to fill it up and trusting God to lead us and to find people to get on the radio that are fundamental King James Version Bible preacher teachers. And that's what we're looking. So we're trusting God to help us to do that. In Psalms tonight, I want you to turn to Psalm 37 first. I want to read two passages of Scripture tonight. Psalm 37. And again, thank you for being here tonight. Trusting God will have our time will be profitable in God's house tonight as we come together. Let's pray first. Father, we thank you tonight for this opportunity to be together. We thank you for the precious Word of God, Lord, that helps us to know who you are and directs us. We thank you for the Spirit of God, Lord, that drew us to the Lamb of God through the Word of God also. We thank you now, Father, for this time we have together. I pray, God, that as we've come together tonight, may the Holy Spirit of God meet with us now. May He be our teacher. May He lead us and guide us tonight, Lord, in the things that we say. Lord, you know our hearts tonight. You know our concerns, and Lord, also the hearts and concerns of each one that's here. Dear God, we commit now this time to you, trusting you, dear God, to bring glory to yourself, and yet, Lord, to help your people, Lord, that stand in need tonight. God, we know we live in a wicked, ungodly world, a world, Lord, that cares nothing about you. And God, we're to be the lights while we're here, and God, help us to be that. So, Father, help us tonight. Strengthen us. Encourage us, and God, give us again that we stand in need of. Again, we lift up our pastor tonight. We pray for him as he speaks, as he presents to college, whatever he does. I pray you bless him, Lord, and give him the liberty to also to speak. Lord, help him as he travels home. Keep him safe. And God, we just now ask your will to be done in this service, and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Psalms chapter 37, I want to read two verses of Scripture, verse 23 and 24. Psalm 37, verse 23 and 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hands. Comforting words to me to know. No matter if our steps are ordered by the Lord, we're going to be happy in the way He leads us, in the way He guides us. And the way He leads us and guides us, if we fall, thank God, we won't utterly be cast down, because the Lord is going to uplift us with His hand. I'm thankful tonight for the hand of God that uplifts us sometimes when we fall. I want to speak tonight on this subject, when failure comes. Now, turn back to Psalm chapter 27. Psalm chapter 27. When failures come. The last couple 5 years in this country, we've seen a lot of failures in life. We've seen a lot of sad situations in life. Not just the tornadoes and earthquakes, but economy-wise. We've seen a lot of things happen in the lives of people. Things that have not been good. Things that have been detrimental to lives and to families and to individuals. And we find tonight, as we look at this subject, when failure comes, I want us to notice in Psalm 27, here is a character, David, in the Bible, a Bible character that's well known. He's probably the most talked about, preached about character in the Bible, is David himself. And we find that David is certainly a good illustration of the nature of mankind. He has his ups, he has his downs. He's been in sin, he's done wrong, but yet he's had many victories in his life as we look at his life. And we find again, because of who David was and the life that he lived, you and I can look at him and we can see ourselves typically in the life of David. I'm thankful tonight that David had many victories in his life. In Psalm 27, he's talking about his faith here. He's talking about it in courage and bravery. He's thankful for the faith that he has in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find here in this passage of Scripture something I think hopefully will be an encouragement to you tonight. When failures come. You know, when we get that phone call, and we get a phone call from somebody that we love and we cherish, and they're in the hospital, they find out that they have a terminal illness, it's not a happy time, is it? When we find out ourselves, we get a doctor's report back, and it's not a good report. It's not a happy time, is it? Now, I believe God's people are to be happy. Well, we are happy because of the Lord Jesus Christ living in us. But I'm saying tonight, we all have to face things in life that we don't want to face. We all have to face things in life that God allows to be in our life. And I'm thankful tonight that we don't have to take these things and go alone in our life. We have God to go with us. How in the world do people in the world today that are faced with tragedies and things in their life, how in the world do they survive without the Lord Jesus Christ? That's beyond me. But I know that failure, it knocks on every person's door in our lives. Failure does. It comes in our lives. Now, the thing about it is, what are we going to do with it when it comes? What are we going to do with it? Well, I believe that God allows things to come into our lives sometimes that we might draw closer to Him. We might come closer to Him. But sad thing, sometimes when tragedies come to our life, if we're not careful, we'll go further from God. We'll run from God. We won't run to Him, we'll run from Him. Because we have the tendency, if not careful, to blame Him for the situations that He's put in our lives. I've said this many times. There is nothing in my life that's going to happen that is not for my good and for God's glory. Not one thing. Now, when it's in my life, I may not think that way. But in that final analysis of it all, it's going to be for my good and it's going to be for His glory. God allows things to come into our lives for that purpose. Now, I want you to notice David in Psalm 27 and verse number 1. Now remember, we're talking about when failures come. It can be family problems, spouse, spouses' problems, children's problems. It can be physical problems. It can be any kind of failure in life. It can be a job failure. It can be anything that you want to mention in your life tonight. When these failures come, what do we do? What do we do in our life? Now notice, David says in Psalm chapter 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Now he asks the question, "Whom shall I fear?" Now notice, he also says, "The Lord is the strength of my life." Again, he asks the question, "Of whom shall I be afraid?" Now David here was speaking courageously about his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. "Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid?" David said. "The Lord is my life, light. The Lord is my life." Now notice first of all here, David is speaking about his God. Personally, he's speaking about the Lord that he knows. He said, the Lord is, that is personally. I'm glad to know that Jesus Christ died for every individual. He died for everyone here, everyone in this world. And Jesus Christ wants to be the Savior of all mankind. He wants to be your personal Savior. Your personal Savior. You can't get saved for somebody else, and somebody else can't get saved for you. It's a personal thing that you have to do with God. We find here that David is saying, "The Lord is." Notice he says, "My." He is my. I like that, don't you? I can say the Lord is my Savior. You can say, if you're saved, the Lord is your Savior. It's a personal relationship between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. David said, "The Lord is my light." He is my light. Notice he says this, "He is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear?" My light. David, in the Old Testament, if you look back in 2 Samuel chapter 21, you find that he was given the name of the light of Israel. David, when he was walking here on this earth and living here with these people, we find that God blessed him and God anointed him and God gave him something special. He had a lot about him that people recognized that this was God's man. This was our leader. And God has given him that light. And we find here that David even reflects into this. He recognized that that light come from God. It didn't come from David, but God gave it to David. See, therefore he was anointed and he was God's man to be used during that time. And David says here, "The Lord is my light, my light." Now, I want you to take your Bibles and turn over to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, speaking about my light. When failure comes, remember this, folks, the Lord is your light. The Lord is your light. Matthew chapter 5, I want you to see something here again. Very familiar verses of Scriptures, but I want us to look at them tonight very quickly. Matthew chapter 5, look at verse number 14. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Jesus is speaking here and he says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Let your light so shine. Now Jesus Christ, if you're saved tonight, you and I are to be lights in this world in which we live. He gave us the light. It's nothing of ourselves. It's what He's given us. He's given us the Holy Spirit that lives within us. And therefore, we find David says here, "The Lord is my light, my light." He is the one that gives me the ability to do what we do for the Lord. Now, notice also, David, he says also, not only is the Lord my light, but He is my, salvation. My salvation. I like that. I'm like salvation. I'm glad to know that I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. There's nothing that can keep me out of heaven. Nothing. Except the fact that I'm living. One day when this body deceases, I'll go to heaven. I know I'll go to heaven. And I thank God tonight that the Lord is my salvation. And because of that, I am safe. I am safe and secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39, he says, in essence, there's nothing in this world that can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate you from the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Lord is my salvation. He's my salvation. Now, when failures come, I have to look at this. I have to be reminding myself of this. The Lord is my light, and the Lord is my salvation. He is my salvation. Now, notice also, he says, whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? Because God is my light, because He is my salvation, there's nothing that I have to fear. Nothing that I have to fear. There's no one that I have to fear. Whenever I'm faced with failures in my life, nothing that I need to fear, because God is with me. He's going to help me. Notice also, Paul says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Praise God for that. He's our strength. He is our strength. Philippians 4:13. God says, Paul says, I can do all things. How? Through Christ which strengtheneth me. He is our strength tonight, folks. If you're weak tonight, God's your strength. He'll be your strength. He's your light. He's your salvation. He'll be your strength. Regardless of what you're facing in life, regardless of what I have to face tomorrow, this week, next week in my life, I need to realize that when failures come in my life, that Jesus Christ is my light, He's my salvation, and He's my strength. If I'll keep those things focused in my mind and in my heart, whenever failures come, I will be able to go through those things by His help. But I have to keep those things focused in my mind. You know why? Because the world wants to take those things out of my mind. He don't want me to think that way. The world doesn't. But the Lord is my life and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now, fear is to be frightened. To be frightened, okay? It's to dread. Fear. We all go through fear sometimes in our life. But may I remind you something you already know. God has not given us the spirit of fear. Fear does not come from God. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of what? Power, love, and of a sound mind. So fear does not come from God. Therefore, fear, when it comes, I must recognize, hey, this is not of God. Now, where else is it coming from? It's coming from the prince of the powers of the air in this world. Now, to be afraid is to be startled, even made to shake, so to speak. Have you ever been afraid? Anybody here been afraid? I have. I've been afraid at times in my life. Someone would sneak up behind you and say, boo, shaking your boot track sometimes, you know. But, you know, I've been afraid in my life many times. And, you know, I remember as a little boy coming up, 7 or 8 years old, at night my mother would send me outside to do something. It's pitch dark. And I really didn't want to go. It would take out the trash or take out the scraps or whatever it was. I didn't want to go, but I knew I had to go. So I'd run out there and I'd run as fast as I could and do what I did. And I'd run back to the house as fast as I could, being scared to death. Scared to death of the dark. But being afraid, having fear in our life. Listen, there's probably not a person in here, if we be honest with ourselves and with God, there's times in our life, even today, that there's fear and we're afraid. We're afraid. We're afraid of what's going to happen. We heard some bad news and we become afraid of that. There's fear that sits in us then. But we need to be reminded again that God did not give us that fear. God does not give us that fear. So what is the first thing we do when failure comes? We do not fear and we do not be afraid. Okay? We do not fear and we do not be afraid. When failure comes in our life, mark it down, folks. Do not be afraid and do not fear that this is in your life. Don't do that. Don't allow it to come into your life. Now, notice also in verse 2 and 3, David's writing here. He says, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and failed. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. We also see, not only is the Lord here personal in being our light, our salvation, our strength, we also see the Lord is our protection. He protects us from our enemies that we have to deal with. Notice he said, my enemies stumble and fall in verse number 2. My enemies stumble and fall because God is my protector. God protects me. I tell you, you people that have a long ways to travel every day on the road, you can certainly identify with this. God protects you. He protects you in your life, no matter where you go. I'm glad tonight to know that God is my protector. Therefore, if I will not fear, I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid because God is in control. He's in control of my life. Now, notice something else. In verses 4 through 6, we find what else we should do when failure comes besides not fear and be afraid. Verse number 4, look at it. One thing have I desired of the Lord, David said, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Verse number 5, For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion, in the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. We find here the second thing we need to do when failure comes is to be faithful to God. Be faithful to God. David said here, one thing I desire of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. All the days of my life. No matter what comes in my life, I want to be in the house of God. I want to learn of the beauty of the Lord, the goodness of the Lord. I know people too that they're far from church today because of something that's happened in their life. You know, you may not think this, but I think this myself. The older I get, my prayer is that God would help me as I grow older not to grow bitter, not to grow bad, but love God and love His house and love His people more than I ever have. I want to be found faithful in God's house until God calls me home, whenever that time is. And I pray that God will give me a mind, as long as He allows me to live in this world, that I want to live for Him and I want to serve Him. That I won't never want to get out of church. When a person gets out of church, they're headed for trouble. They're headed for trouble. They really are. Trouble's going to come. Failure's going to come. All kinds of things are going to happen to them in their lives. Listen, God's good, folks. He's good. David said, be faithful to God. What will I do? He says, I'm going to desire one thing in verse number 4. I'm going to desire one thing. I'm going to dwell in God's house. I'm going to delight in the beauty of the Lord. God's beautiful. God's great. It's a privilege to be in God's house. Every time the doors are open, we ought to thank God. We have a place to go. We have a refuge place that we can get out of the world. And we can come together as God's people and hear God's word proclaimed to us and encourage us to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. David said, be faithful to God. Do not fear or be afraid in your life. We find here his communion with God was very important. David, he loved to commune with God. We also see something else. In trouble, we find Preservation, verse 5 and 6, we find that we can hide. We can hide in the Lord. He offered sacrifices of joy. He sang praises to the Lord whenever trouble came into his life. Well, probably one of the hardest things to do in a life as a Christian is when trouble comes, is to sing praises to God. It's to glorify Him. It's hard to do, isn't it? But it's the best thing we can do in our life. It's to sing praise to God. Praise God. Praise God. You know, I like to be around people that are always praising God, don't you? I really do. You find those people, they're happy people, most of them are. And, you know, whatever they're confronted with in life, they keep right on going. They keep right on going. You know, they're strong in the Lord. They're strong in the Lord. And we find here, David said, be faithful. Be faithful to God. Be faithful to God. Something else he says in verse number 7 through 10. We don't have time to read this. But David says, when failures come, pray to God. Pray to God. Talk to God. Talk to God. Now, there's nothing wrong with talking to a Christian friend. There's nothing wrong with talking to sisters and brothers. But if we only talk to sisters and brothers and friends, we might not get the right answer. Amen. But when we talk to God, we'll get the right answer. Because God will reveal His truth to us if we'll seek after His truth. Someone said, attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God. From God. No matter what your job is, what your desire is in your heart, to do something for God, well, you set forth and do it. You do it. Attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. Because God is a great God. He's able to supply your needs. Then we see in verses 11 through 13, we need to ask God to show us what to do. Ask God to show us what to do. My, we need God to teach us. Look in verse number 11. Verse number 11, he says, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. I like that. I like plain paths. I like plain paths because of mine enemies. He says, deliver me not over into the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. So we find that whenever failure comes, we need to ask God to show us what to do. To show us what to do. And then we find in verse number 14, what else we need to do when failure comes, we need to wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Probably one of the hardest things in my life to do is learn to wait. Wait on the Lord. There's something in my life that I can't control. You know, men like to fix things, don't we? I mean, we can fix anything, right? We can fix anything. But whenever something is beyond our control and something we can't get our hands on and maneuver it and make it like we want it and control it and fix it, and we have to wait on God. Boy, that takes patience. That takes courage. That takes the grace of God in our lives. It really does. But David says here, wait on the Lord. He said, be of good courage when you're waiting. Be of good courage. Listen, God's in control. Whatever situation you're facing tonight in your life, folks, listen. God is in control. You just wait upon Him. You pray. You don't be fearful. You don't be afraid. You be faithful to God. You ask God to show you what to do, and you wait on the Lord. And when you do that, God is going to show you the remedy, and God is going to make things in your life better than you've ever thought they could be. He'll do it. He'll do it if we learn to wait on the Lord. Now, in Psalm chapter 31, turn over a couple pages, we'll be through here. Psalm 31 and verse 24. The Bible says this, again, this is David. He says, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you that hope in the Lord. Now, looking back in Psalm 29, verse 11, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Peace. whatever trial you're going through, whatever tragedy you're going through in your life, wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. He'll give you peace. He'll give you peace that passes all understanding. When failures come, do not fear. Do not be afraid. When failures come, be faithful to God. Pray to God. Ask God to show you what to do. And then wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. And He will give you the desires of your life, your heart, whatever that is tonight. I'm glad that God is in control of every event in my life. I'm glad He's in control. He knows best for me. He knows best for you. He knows best for every one of us tonight. And because of that, we have to depend upon Him. You know, I'm glad that when God saves us, it would be wonderful when He saved us to take us to heaven, wouldn't it? Instantly. You ever think about that? When God saved us, poof, we're going to heaven. But you know, heaven wouldn't mean much to us if God did that. But because God leaves us in this world, He leaves us here to grow and to mature and do a work for Him that He wants us to do. Whenever He calls us home, whenever we get to heaven, heaven is going to be much greater than what ever been if He called us to heaven as soon as He saved us. Heaven is certainly worth waiting for, isn't it? Amen. Heaven is. I'm glad that God's in control of your life. God's in control of my life. And there's nothing too hard for God. And the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Thank God. He's my light. He's my strength. He's my salvation. He's my protector. He's my preserver. He's everything to me. And I'm sure He is to you tonight. May God bless you this week. Give you a good week. Looking forward to what God has in store for us on the Lord's Day. Let's all stand, please. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Thank you for being here tonight. Be much in prayer for one another as you go through the rest of this week. Trusting God to give us all a good week.